Blog Talk Radio.
This is Equestrian Legacy Radio.
I'm a big race horse. I can run so fast I don't even think about being last. When I make my move, I don't feel no pain. I got running blood, so cut loose my reins. Don't hold on, don't hold back. If you're gonna run on the winning track, trying hard is not enough. You've got to have the running blood. Through my mane, I can't be held back, boys, I can't be tame. I'm a wild horse running across the plains. I got running blood, so cut loose my rein. And don't hold on, don't hold back. If you're gonna run on the winning track, trying hard is not enough. You got to have a running blood. I'm gonna have You're gonna really see me shine. God gave me strong legs for a reason, to be the first to cross the line. Feel the muscles rippling across your back. When you make your move, get it all your strength. When that running blood beats up by a length, don't hold on, don't hold back. If you're gonna run on the winning track, trying hard is not enough. You've got to have the running blood. So don't hold on, don't hold back. Trying hard is not enough. You've got to have the running blood. You've got to have the running blood.
Legacy Radio, that's live talk radio for all equestrians and those that love the equestrian lifestyle. And this is the first edition of a new format for our show, so we welcome all of you today. We started our program out with Running Blood by Michael Martin Murphy, and Michael Martin Murphy will be joining us a little bit later in the program for our first edition of Campfire Cafe. And so we're excited to bring a new format to our listeners today, and our first guest we're very excited to have join us, and that's Miss Diana Hoppe. Diana Hoppe is a young lady who lives just west of Nashville on her Broken Road Ranch, and Diana is a former model and actress and singer and songwriter and a great photographer. And I first became aware of Diana because of her photography. She has a great eye and does a great job with her work. She's been featured in Holland's Country Living magazine recently, and featured an article on her as well as her photography. And in addition to that, Diana is a horsewoman, and a member of the Board of Directors for the Spotted Saddle Horse Breeders and Exhibitors Association. And so I'd like to say welcome today to Diana Hoppe.
Well, Diana, thank you for having me.
Well, good to have you with us, and thanks for joining us for this new format in the program. You know, our listeners really enjoy finding out a little bit about our guest and their background with horses. So how did you get started with horses?
Oh, my goodness. First, I want to say I liked that song, Running Blood. I think we, the best of us that love the equine as much as we do, have that running blood, and that really got my blood pumping this morning.
Well, that's a great song.
It is. Oh, gosh. I've probably owned and been riding horses for about 30 years. Of course, as a little girl, I always dreamed of having one. In fact, I became a member of the AQHA when I was 9 years old. I saved up my money to buy a membership, and I didn't even own a horse. I just wanted that bumper sticker and the poster of the horse in my bedroom. So I had the bug bite me very, very early, and moved to Tennessee and was riding quarter horses and Appaloosas and doing a little barrel racing and jackpot shows. And I was pregnant, I guess about 15 years ago, I was pregnant with my first daughter. And riding on those trotting horses really got to be irritating as my stomach got larger. So one day somebody said, hey, this is a spotted saddle horse, get on. And I got on, and I rode right up until I gave birth, and I was hooked. I was hooked. So I changed breeds. Although I love the equine in general, don't get me wrong, but there's just some kind of fire that was set up underneath me with the spotted saddle horse and the walking horse. They're very versatile and smooth going, and I've enjoyed them for about 18 years now.
Well, that's great. Well, how did you go from being an actress and a singer and a songwriter and a model to your involvement with horses?
Well, horses have pretty much been the mainstay. Horses and my relationship with Jesus Christ have always been there, it seems like. The other stuff, life gets in the way, or sometimes you just get a little bit too old to be in front of the camera. I'm 46 now. You know, there's not a lot out there for the aged models. So I picked my camera up, and I thought, well, if I'm not going to be on the other side, by golly, I'm going to learn this side of it. And I'm enjoying it. I still have a lot to learn. I'm self-taught. I started out taking pictures of the horses and then kind of moved into a little bit of the Western fashion and, of course, children. But it was over the years. It was a transitional change. The horses have always been there.
Well, you do a great job with your photography, and both with the photography with the horses, and I've seen some of the fashion shots that you've done, and you just have a terrific eye. And
well,
so,
I appreciate that.
Yeah, well, I appreciate the fact that you're able to combine that with your love of horses. Talk to us a little bit about the Spotted Saddle Horse Breeders and Exhibitors Association and how you got involved with that.
Well, of course, riding that spotted saddle horse that day, I never really went back to any other breed. And then when I found out that this association was right there in Shelbyville, I'm from Marshall County originally, Lewisburg area, when I found out this association was right there in Shelbyville and they offered a sport horse division where I could take this smooth riding, versatile, beautiful spotted saddle horse and still get to run my barrels and poles and jumps and compete among other and with other spotted saddle horse lovers, of course I was hooked and I was thrilled. So off and on for several years I was involved with the sport horse end of it, and then due to another pregnancy and a C-section about 5 years ago, I couldn't ride again right away. So I took to haltering and modeling horses. And so I got my feet wet with a little bit of the other divisions, of the performance division and the rail. And, you know, just all in all, it's a great association. The people have been helpful. They all have one thing in common, that's to preserve register and combine a love for this breed where we can get out there and really, you know, get it more recognizable and get it a little bit further than the borders of Tennessee. And so when the BOD announced last year that they had a few positions open and a little elbowing from a couple other friends, I decided to hop on board. No pun intended. So I was duly elected, and like I said, it's a great association because we're not just focused on one aspect of the breed. You know, we've got our trail. We've got another program called the Outreach Incentive Program, which I've also been real proud to help and be on the committee for that. And that in particular is anybody around the world, anybody that has a registered spotted saddle horse with Sheba Association can get involved and be recognized for what they do when they compete against other breeds. And Sheba will award them, and they're welcome to come to our banquet, and we will recognize them. And it's a fairly new program, so we need a lot of people out there spreading the word. But you don't have to come to Shelbyville to show at the World Show to be recognized by Sheba. If you've got a spotted saddle horse and you're registered, you got to keep your membership up so that you know we can maintain contact with you. But we have awards and recognition for you in reference to the spotted saddle horse.
And, you know, we have, Diana, listeners in about 20-plus countries, so I'm sure that there are folks that are in other parts of the country, and, of course, we're heard all across the United States and Canada as well.
Wow, what a way to make me nervous. I'll start stuttering now.
Yeah, well, I stutter a little bit myself. That's why I keep coffee. It helps keep my tongue from getting too tied. But for our listeners that may not be familiar with the spotted saddle horse breed, can you tell us a little bit about the breed? I mean, it's a gated breed.
Of course, we have spots. The funny thing is about the spotted saddle horse, it can be registered pinto, which is a recognized pattern. Okay, just like the Palomino is kind of a breed, a registry just for the color. The spotted saddle horse can be registered pinto as well. Many of ours are double registered, meaning spotted saddle and walking horse. We do have much walking horse influence in our breed.
It's interesting. In 1957, my dad bought his first walking horse, and she was a spotted Tobiano mare by old Curly Spotted Allen.
And this was before there was a spotted registry, is that correct?
That was way before there was a spotted registry.
Yeah.
and not too many spotted walking horses around at that time. So we've been associated with the spotted horse, the spotted saddle horse, even when they were just walking registered. Tell us a little bit about the gaits of the spotted saddle horse.
Well, I prefer what I call a country trail pleasure. We don't have the head nod like, I guess, your walking horse a lot prefer. My horses do kind of collect and drop their nose just a little bit, but they have a beautiful four-beat saddle gait, and it's just a nice little rounded-out canter, flat walk, pretty much very much common to what the walking horse industry has.
Mm-hmm. As far as the different divisions that are available for people to participate in, of course, you have the rail classes that are more of the show-type class.
Correct.
That people
we have the Trail Pleasure division. They have a little head nod going, and I have to sit here and tell you, I've never had a Trail Pleasure horse, so I'm not, you know, my forte has been the sport horse and the country trail. Mm-hmm. But we do have that division, and the horse is just absolutely looks knocked out, just stunning in the ring.
Right.
So we have Trail Pleasure, and then we have our Country Trail Pleasure division, and then we have our Sport Horse, and then we have, of course, we do the lead liners. We have classes for the 6 and under in the lead line. There's just something for everybody in every aspect of the association. If you don't feel like your horse is fitting in this one, you know, by gosh, there's something else that you can do with us and be recognized.
Right. And what type of activities are involved in the sport horse division? Because I know that's the one that you're more involved in.
Right, yeah. Well, we have barrel racing. We pole bend. We jump. We do trail obstacle. We have competitive trail rides. The trail committee has competitive trail rides. Actually, we have one coming up. And we have several events through the year. And then, of course, we have our World Championship Sport Horse event in November.
And do you know the dates and where that location
will be? I do. I believe it's November 8th and 9th for the indoor arena events, which will be the barrels, the poles. But actually this month, on the 28th, our Sport Horse World Championship competition begins with competitive trail and hunting, which is we're actually out on the trail and up against different obstacles and whatnot. And we do have different age divisions. We have open, and then we have 11 and under. Then we have 12 to 17. So we're not all thrown in there together. We have different age levels, and of course, for your horses, being young horses, we have some classes for them. We also have had actually some open breed classes as well, so
right.
that people can come out and visit with us and see our breed and us get to visit with them as well.
Okay, and where will the competition be held?
The competition in November, the indoor events, will be at Clearview Farms in Shelbyville, Tennessee.
Okay.
In the 28th of this month, from what I understand, they had been changed, and I'm pretty sure, I'm pretty positive about this. They're going to be, I believe it's called the Cannon County. I've only been there one time. A lot of people call it Short Mountain area. Does that make sense
right.
to you?
It does.
I've only been there once.
Right.
Cannon County, I think it's a campground as well.
Okay, and so that will be in Cannon County. Woodbury is the county seat of that, and let me ask this before I forget about it. You have a website that people could go to find out more information about the upcoming events?
Sheba does. It's www.spottedsaddlehorse. Let's see, it's the initials, S-S-H-B-E-A.
Okay.
.org.
Okay.
And then, of course, you can hit Facebook, and between myself and a couple of other wonderful young ladies, that stays updated pretty often. The Spotted Saddle Horse Breeders Exhibitors Association is on Facebook. They also have a Sport Horse Facebook page, and we have an Outreach Program Facebook page.
Okay. Well, Facebook gives you a lot of information for folks, but just to repeat again, your website is S-H-S-S-H-B-E-A. .org.
That is correct.
I'm sure folks can go there and find out more information about the Spotted Saddle Horse breed and the different activities that you can participate in and the events that are coming up.
We also have a wonderful youth council where the youth get together and do activities and help promote the breed and enjoy each other's company as well.
Okay. And, you know, talking about youth, I want to thank you personally because a few weeks ago the Tennessee Walking Horse Youth Association needed some clinicians to come at short notice, and not only do you do sport horse activities, but you're a cowboy managed shooting girl. We've discussed.
Well, now let me explain. I had done it before, but it had been a while. And friend Marty Luffman called me and asked me, and I think he's grand. And so I said, yes, and I love being around the youth. When it comes to horses and youth together, I mean, there's just no other place for me when that option is put in my face. So I had to be there. And I truly enjoyed it, and they enjoyed it, and I loved every minute of it, and I thank you for having us.
Well, we were excited that you were able to help out with that, and I know that the kids all had a great time and probably made their day. To be
you
able
know,
to watch
some
that.
Some of them even got to shoot a gun.
Wow.
Yeah.
But not real bullets in those things. Now,
No. Yeah, let's disclaimer.
Yeah, a little disclaimer. That was just black powder
blank.
In there. Right,
yeah.
Right. Well, what area do you enjoy the most? I mean, do you enjoy the halter classes more? Do you like the sport classes, or is it a little bit of everything?
Well, I'm gonna say I really do enjoy the timed competition, and when I say competition, you know I have a 2-year-old this year and she was raised here, but when I say competition, I personally go, and I like to think a lot of other people do, to compete against ourselves to beat our last times, and that's what makes this sport horse group like family. because we're all there for each other, even though in the end we are competing against each other. You know, it's the camaraderie is just, you know, it's like family. So I'm going to say that I pick sport horse, that I really do enjoy. Now, everybody enjoys, you know, a great show where you really get your horse looking as good as you can and go in and park it out. That's a pretty awesome feeling, too. So that would probably run a close second.
Uh-huh. So then, is your family involved in the activities as well?
They're getting there. They're getting there. I have one that will be 5 years old this year. And, of course, she was, you talk about the running blood. She was born with the running blood. She loves the horses, and she'd be on it. She'd be on a horse running around barrels now if I let her go. But you know how mamas are.
Yeah, that's right. A little protective.
So, and my husband has been wonderful to haul for the past 5 years, and this year he's just now starting to get a little bit more involved because we do have a gated division with our sport horse. If you don't want to run, you can get your horse out there and stay in your saddle gate and still compete. You can compete to the world level, too. So
well,
he's getting
great.
Involved a little bit more this year. But they're very supportive. They've been very supportive and very patient of me and my passion, that's for sure.
Now, and I would suppose, too, that the spotted saddle horses make a pretty decent trail horse, don't they?
Oh, they make an awesome trail horse, and they're flashy. You've got beauty, you've got brains, and you've got stability. I just love them. They're very good on the trail.
Now, do you have some trail activities that people can become involved in on the association level?
Yeah, when you go to the website, there's also, I believe, on there. If it's not there, it's going to link you, and you'll come to Facebook, too. We do have a trail committee, and we actually have a competitive, I'm trying to think of how they had it listed. It's kind of an extreme trail ride.
Uh-huh.
And it's totally separate from any of the other divisions, and I think they offered it last year, and they've got beautiful awards. And you can come and compete on the trail with your spotted saddle horse.
Okay.
I believe they're doing that once a year. But, we do have a trail horse committee, and now all this is updated. And let's see, I think actually there is a trail ride coming up this weekend on the 14th. I'm wanting to say it's at Coffey's in Lewisburg, Tennessee. Coffey's Property.
All right. And, again, they can find all of that. They can find all of that at sshbea.org.
.org. And if you don't find it, there is a list. It will say divisions and programs, and all the Facebook pages are listed.
Okay.
And
now,
you can click right over to Facebook. I know that stays updated all the time.
Okay. All right. Well, we'd encourage people to check out the SHBEA website and also the Facebook pages. And, you know, I want to go back again just a minute, Diana, to your photography, because you really do a fabulous job. Do you have a website or a Facebook page, and are you available?
Oh, you're sweet, I do. Well, you know I have a Facebook page, but I do have a web page that stays up all the time where you can see a gallery of my work and find my contacts and email me, and that is at DianaHoppyPhotography.com.
Okay. All right. Well, I would encourage folks to check your website out because you just do fabulous work.
Well, thank you. I'm still learning. I'm self-taught. So I'm like a sponge, and I'm still learning, always wanting to improve. You know, I'm my own worst enemy, so I'm always trying to improve and critique myself.
you've done a good job with your self-education on the photography because you look like
a
professional.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Great work. Anything that you'd like to leave us with about the spotted saddle horse breed?
Hey, if you have never ridden one, try one out. Give it a shot.
All right. Well, I know when I look.
We have some people coming over here this weekend to visit our farm, and it'll be the first horse they ever ride will be a spotted saddle horse.
Well, that's great. I know that, you know, I mentioned that we started out with a spotted walking horse way back in 1957. And
right.
through the years, we've had both double registered spotted and walking horses. And they're just all great breeds and just a ton of fun to get involved with in whatever discipline you choose, whether it's on the rail or through some of the sport horse activities or on the trail. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Diana, I appreciate so much you taking your time to join us today and look forward to having you back
having
again.
Me.
Well,
thank you for having me and having patience.
Well, you're great, and we've just really enjoyed talking with you. We enjoy watching your photography, taking a look at the work that you've done there, and I hope to see you at some spotted saddle horse activities
Good.
In the near future.
Sounds great.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Mr. Gary.
All right. Well, that is Diana Hoppe, and we just appreciate her joining us on the call. We're going to take just a little break, and we're going to play a little music called Cowboy Logic. This is a great song that Michael Martin Murphy did, and hopefully Michael will be on the phone to join us when this song is finished. But if you haven't seen the video of this, take a look at our website, equestrianlegacy.net, and we actually have the video of Cowboy Logic under the Campfire Cafe section on our website. So let's listen to a little Cowboy Logic, and then hopefully Michael will join us for the next session. Here we go.
There's a great American hero we all look up to. When the times are hard and chips are down, he knows just what to do. Now a cowboy's got a set of rules that he lives by day to day. If you ask for his advice, he'll more than likely say, if it's a fence, mend it. If it's a dollar bill, spend it. Or it burns a hole down in them jeans. If it's a load, truck it. If it's a punch, duck it. If she's a lady, treat her like a queen. That's cowboy logic. Every cowboy's got it. It's in the way he lives his life and the songs he sings. That's cowboy logic. Every cowboy's got it. He's got a simple solution just about anything. If it's a job, do it. Put your back into it. All the little bit of dirt's gonna wash off them drains. If it's a horse, ride it. If it hurts, hide it. Duck yourself off, get back on again. That's cowboy logic. Every cowboy's got it. It's in the way he lives his life and the songs he sings. That's cowboy logic. Every cowboy's got it. He's got a simple solution for just about anything. An old cowboy and a young buckaroo were working, riding fence. The old hand was testing the kid on his skills and his common sense. He said, son, if you've seen three men in a pickup, dressed alike from boots to hat, could you tell which one was the real cowboy just from where he sat? Well, the kid scratched his head a while and then he said, well, there just ain't no way to know. The old hand grinned and then he said, kid, you still got a ways to go. The real cowboy is the one in the middle. He ain't there just by fate. 'Cause first, he don't have to drive. And then, he don't have to mess with the gate. That's cowboy logic. Every cowboy's got it. It's in the way he lives his life and the songs he sings. That's cowboy logic. Every cowboy's got it. He's got a simple solution just about anything. He's got a simple solution just about anything.
I'm right in the middle of a phone call here today, so I'm just hanging on a second. Sorry about that. I'm on a live interview to California right now.
Okay, we've been listening to Caroline in the Pines, and we have Michael Martin Murphy live on the phone with us, and we switched over to that music so we could talk just a little bit. Michael, you're a pretty popular guy. What happened while we were trying to get connected there?
Well, I had you on speakerphone until you came on, and a guy walked up to the car and said, are you Michael Martin Murphy? I said, yes. And he started dogging the man. I said, I can't talk. I'm on a live interview on the 213 Biscayne. I don't even know where you are right now, but I assume that's probably Southern California.
No, we're just outside of Nashville, Tennessee. So,
it was a 213 number I called.
Right. So that's just for the show. But anyway, glad to have you on. People know that this is Live Talk Radio, and so things are going to happen sometimes, and we're just delighted to have you join us. You know, I was telling folks just a minute ago, I've had a lot of reviews that were sent to me about Michael Martin Murphy, but the most impressive reviews have been folks that have made comments to me that know you, and they said that this guy is the real deal, just a great guy. And he and Karen are some of the sweetest folks that you'd ever meet. So I am just delighted to have you join us today for the first ever Campfire Cafe. And you and I were just talking. You're the first musical guest we've had. So that's just been a dream come true for me. And you're a horse guy, and you're a legendary musician and music that we've all loved. So tell us just a little bit about your horse activities, and I know your family's involved in the horses, and you have a daughter that's breeding and standing a stallion now, so talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, first of all, my entire career, I've never lived in Nashville. I lived in Los Angeles while I was a songwriter, but I moved back to Texas around the time I put my first album out. And I've always lived in the country on a ranch somewhere, a small ranch, big ranches, and everything in between. So from the beginning of Geronimo's Cadillac, you know, I took that album cover picture and I wrote those songs from being a Westerner and living on a ranch and living an outdoor lifestyle. I never wanted to be cooped up in a big city. I've always loved riding horses. I grew up riding horses. My uncle was a large animal doctor out in Mundy, Texas. And looking back, I wish I'd have listened to him a little bit more and learned a little bit more than I did. I was too interested in just jumping on the horse and riding instead of, you know, the horse's health and all that. I had to learn about that stuff later, and I still don't consider that I know everything. There's no way you can really ever know everything about horses. My wife is much more knowledgeable, and my daughters are much more knowledgeable in depth about horse anatomy and genetics and stuff like that. And so I figure I married into royalty because my wife is kind of the queen of that stuff. She knows everything. I'm not saying I'm the king. I married the queen.
Right.
But
we
had horses when I was a kid. I grew up riding horses. Uncle, large animal doctor. We were also ranchers in my family. My dad was not a rancher, but my grandfather and my uncle owned a ranch in Mena, Arkansas, and ranches in North Texas together. And always had an interest in that. And then my step-grandfather was a full-time rancher farmer in Texas. And my dad's stepdad, and I spent long summers with him learning that you don't have to have a PhD to be the smartest guy in the world. And he was the smartest man I've ever known. He was very, very wise as well as smart. And you know there's a difference.
There is.
So I grew up with all that and then moved to, you know, Los Angeles and spent a few years going to UCLA, but after I made my first album and moved back to Texas, I was back on the ranch again, back around my Texas people and my Westerner friends, and started getting back into it a little bit. And then when I really made initially some real money in the music business when Wildfire came out, it was because of a song about a horse.
Right.
So I got thousands and thousands of letters, I mean countless letters from, and if it had been Facebook in those days, it would have been Facebook messages and emails.
Right.
From fans who named their horse Wildfire. And so I was driven further and further toward, you know, return to the cowboy lifestyle. And then when Cowboy Songs came out in 1989, I was already living on a ranch in Taos, New Mexico, and had horses. And at that point, I went into being a cattleman, and I ran cattle as many as 1,000 head on 200,000 acres down in southern New Mexico. I ran cattle in northern Colorado, ran cattle in Kansas, varying size of herds depending on, you know, the size of the place and the amount of grass available.
Right.
And worked those animals, and also just across the gorge on the sagebrush ground across from Taos, New Mexico, across the Rio Grande. Me and a guy named Fred Hargrove, who also became a cowboy singer later, used to get up every single day when I was in town, and that was about half the time. When I was in town, and we'd get up every single day, we worked those animals on horseback. We'd ride out, and we had to put out water because we went through a drought period. So we used ranch horses, and also when I put out my first cowboy album, I asked I went to Roy Rogers and asked him for advice.
Wow.
He said, if you really want to be a cowboy singer, Michael, instead of a country singer, you want to be a cowboy singer, then you better get yourself a good-looking horse. And he said, and if I had to do that over again, what I would have done is I would get one of those wireless microphones, and when I do a concert, I would ride around and sing on horseback. So I couldn't do that in my era. They didn't have those.
Right.
So just right here at the very tail end of my career, Dale and I a couple of times rode around using wireless microphones, and then my back started giving me so much trouble I couldn't do anything anymore. I think I was on the last television special that Roy did. Even then, he was in a back brace, but the last time he was on a horse, that was in the Great Montana Cattle Drive, which is a TNN television special. By that time, I was running cattle in two or three places in the West, and I had gotten myself a horse named Peppy Jack, was a great reiner, and I would ride out in the arena in the New Mexico State Fair or San Antonio Livestock Show, later on the Denver National Western Livestock Show. I would ride out and sing my songs with a wireless microphone on horseback just exactly the same way that Roy advised me to do. And it was at that point the AQHA contacted me about being a spokesperson for them and gave me a lifetime membership in the AQHA, which is probably my most treasured award or anything that's ever been given to me. That I value above all else, and I have to say that so does my wife. My wife thinks that's my coolest award.
Gosh.
And I've gotten some good ones over the years that I'm not ungrateful for any of them, but I put the lifetime membership, the AQHA, way up there because I know what it took for them to get that through the board of the AQHA. It wasn't easy. At the time, there were only 7 people that had been given a lifetime membership, honorary membership in the AQHA. Well, at the time that I was doing all that, I got into reining real heavily. Really got interested because reining horses really worked great for an arena show where you could trot at the side pass while you were singing and spin a horse around. Looked real flashy to the crowd. And I went back and looked at some of the stuff that Gene Autry did on some old films and some stuff Roy Rogers did and realized that they were they were running what we would call raining patterns even back then. They just didn't have an event called raining, but they were doing sliding stops and spins and all kinds of things. Fortunately, when I started doing it, raining was a whole lot more developed thing. And it's a competitive thing. So I had good teachers, and I had good guys going after finding me horses. So I did that for a while. Then I said, you know, I think I'm going to get into breeding and training as a business because I need these horses in my work. I'm doing these shows. I'm riding horses in parade. I need to, you know, always have a fresh supply of a well-trained horse and horses. I was also doing trail rides all over the country. I was putting on, at one time I started going in for this, I did trail rides, sometimes 6 or 7 of them a year. And I've been to the bottom of Grand Canyon with people. I've been to Yellowstone Park, Mammoth, been to up the John Muir Trail, ridden the Colorado Trail, multiple locations all over, and did a cattle drive in Montana. And this is
wow.
where people paid to come out and be on a drive or a trail ride. Sometimes cattle were involved, and so therefore I had to not only have a good horse in the arena, I had to have a cow horse, a horse that could really work cattle and wasn't scared of cattle, you know. A lot
right.
of people that are outside of our world don't realize that there are a lot of horses out there that are scared to death of cattle, have never been around them. You know,
oh,
they
yeah.
may be in the show arena, but they don't know anything about it. So it got to be a thing then when I married Karen that we decided that we were going to go into breeding, training, and working and using ranch horses. And because that's what I needed in my work.
Uh-huh.
And it led to just a wonderful experience of doing tons of wonderful trail rides and selling horses to a lot of people and having great using horses myself. Currently, I should probably explain, my wife and three of my daughters are 24/7 cowgirls. They're hauling up and down the road. Morgan is more on the ranch operations, right there on the ranch all the time. She is a great horse trainer, not one who goes for competition. Sarah is working for Gerald Alexander, who is the world's top trainer of two-year-olds. He sent more two-year-olds to the Futurity that won than anybody around. He's a legend, and she works for him. She's also worked for Boyd Rice. And so she's gotten a job with some great people that trained her a lot. Her interest is in cutting horses and working cow horse. And so she's currently working in the training world doing all that. She also loves roping, and she, on the weekends when she's not working for Gerald's, she goes out and ropes down in Stephenville, Texas. She's over in the Weatherford, Texas area, but she'll run down to Stephenville and get involved in roping. She also worked for a guy by the name of Yates, who is probably the top, J.D. Yates, probably the top
right.
roper of all time. He's in his 50s and still winning all kinds of money. So she got to be around that. And then Jessica is our breeding expert. She went to University of Wisconsin, River Falls, and learned all about horse genetics. And she advises us on our breeding. And currently we're standing 2 studs, Patch's Lucky Straw, which is a ranch bred buckskin paint stallion. Homozygous throws paint even out of a solid color mare. She has a Facebook page, Patch's Lucky Straw. Patch's
okay.
Lucky Straw is her Facebook page. And then we have Holly Docks, our AQHA horse is Holly Docks Little Peppy. That's L-I-L, short for little.
Right.
Holly Docks Little Peppy, and that's directly out of sire, direct son of Holly Dock. and that's just a phenomenal breeding. And then on the dam side, own daughter of Peppy Sand Badger.
Wow.
You know, she was a... So Peppy Sand Badger and Holly Dock are the breeding there. Then my horse, Miss Wildfire, who we just referred to as Wildfire, but I always swore I would never name a horse Wildfire because because people have an imagination about what Wildfire is and, you know, what it looks like. And so when I brought it down to one horse with Wildfire in it, I said, I'm going to say she's Ms. Wildfire. And she is a Continental Kingbred and in the direct line of the foundation breeding of King, starting with Xanathon all the way back to the beginning, and then Little Joe, and then King, and then Little Continental King, and then Continental King, and then King Corione. So that's way back. That's a lot between, but the King stuff was kept in there all the way down the line. And we're proud of her because she's the horse I ride in parades and in the arena. But she's getting older now, so I'm not doing so much of that on her. We're developing some more horses for
that
purpose now. But she did show in reining competition. My daughter showed her. All these horses are all being shown. We have about 20 brood mares, and I won't go into telling you about every single one of those. But Fire, the one that most people are really interested in, appears on the cover of a book by Vaughn Wilson called Tell Me About That Horse. And he has a Facebook page, Tell Me About That Horse. And I'm proud of the fact that he chose her out of all the... That is a book about celebrities and their horses. And I was very proud of the fact... I am very proud of the fact that he chose me to be on the cover of that book with Miss Wildfire, who we refer to as Fire.
Right.
And her filly right now is Hallelujah, Hallelujah. So I think you can see who she got bred to.
Right. Oh, gosh.
And her breeding came off of the old Turkey Track ranch. So that's a lot. That's a lot, but I've done a lot with horses, and I'm doing even more now. And, you know, I haven't been doing as many trail rides as I have been in the past. This year, I kind of stepped back from that a little bit. But the last 5 years before that, I've been on the Buffalo Roundup in Custer, South Dakota. And next year, I'm going back into it. But I stopped doing it because this summer, I built a theater on an old guest ranch up in Red River, New Mexico, and moved out there for the summer and developed this theater. It's an amphitheater that sits around 10,000 feet on a ranch. And our intention is to eventually do some horseback riding out of there, outfit some trips out of there. But I just felt like I couldn't go off to Wyoming or California or something and lead a trail ride while I was in the middle of doing that. I need to be there every single day until that thing came down.
Now, you opened the theater there in Red River, what, the first part of July?
Well, I'm going to finish out by saying there is no way in the world that I could possibly have the horse ranch that I have and the wonderful breeding of those horses that we have unless it were the fact that my wife, Karen, runs and manages that ranch while I'm gone on the road. And when I come home, she still knows more than I do. And you put our team together of Morgan, Jessica, and Sarah, and I've got four 24/7 cowgirls that know how to do it all. And I'm so grateful to her. You can probably tell she's probably listening right now on the live feed.
I think she probably...
Thank you. I love you. Couldn't do anything like this without you. Otherwise, I just have a few good horses out there for my shows, and probably not enough good horses. And if it wasn't for her, we wouldn't be where we are today. And she's assisted me on all my trail rides. It's just been an amazing experience. And she is a person that I look up to. All I can say is there's the four cowgirls
that I know are the best cowboys on my place.
Oh, that's great. That is great. Well, and how is Karen doing? Because I know she had a little accident with a horse and broke some things, broke some bones in her foot. Or is she doing okay?
You know, it's just that stuff that happens when you're out there with horses all the time, and it can happen any time, as you well know.
Yeah.
But she is great at recovering. She got kicked by a horse 6 weeks before we got married, and was rushed to the hospital in an ambulance. And they said, well, we don't know how soon you're going to be able to walk again. But we prayed. We got down on our knees. We asked the Lord to deliver her, and he did. And 6 weeks later, she walked with a very long wedding dress to hide the fact that she was limping a little bit. She walked down that aisle.
Oh, that's great.
And right now she's doing really well in her recovery. She's doing all the things they tell her to do. But I do want to add, she is the kind of a person, if the doctor says, now listen, don't carry any weight more than 10 pounds, she will go out and get a 9.5-pound bucket and keep going.
She's pushing it, isn't she? Oh, gosh. Oh, that's terrific. Well, you know, you have a great family. Karen and I have become friends on Facebook, and Facebook can be a really good thing or it can be a bad thing. Depends on how people use it. But you can tell good people from what they have on their Facebook page, and you can tell that she's just a sweetheart, and I know that you're blessed to have her, and I'm sure she'd say the same thing about you. As well.
Well, you know, people that are seriously in the ranching business, I noticed this as a trend. You still there?
Yeah, uh-huh.
I'm sorry, I heard a beep, and I didn't know what that was. It probably means that there's some spy recording what we're doing here.
Probably so.
I've noticed that ranch people have jumped on the internet as a way to market their horses and their cattle. And also, you can be out on the ranch and answer your phone now instead of having to go in the house to do it. And I think it's, in a lot of ways, it's a blessing. You know, if you don't let it become a total intrusion on your life.
Right.
And Karen doesn't. She gets out there with the horses, and sometimes she can answer the phone, sometimes she can't. But my daughter Jessica has done a wonderful job of marketing our horses through the internet and through Facebook, which, as you can see, our horses even have Facebook pages.
Yeah, that's
my
great.
Facebook page is Michael Martin Murphy fan page. And then I also have a personal page, but it's full.
Wow.
I'm up to 5,000 on that. So to get on to friend me now, all you got to do is go on the fan page and like me. So like me. I want to be liked.
Well, yeah, we want to like you. Hey, and I snuck in and got on your personal page too. So I'm glad I came in under that 5,000 number. So I enjoy that. Hey, I want to, if you wouldn't mind, let's talk just a little bit about the Red River facility. And I know that you've got programs that you're doing there, and I think also dinner and some things that are available. And I guess that's ended for the season, hasn't it?
Well, here's the way it works. Number one, I've always loved to be in the mountains. And when I married Karen, I had a cabin in the mountains. And I've kept a connection with having a place in the mountains all along, all through all those years. And got added to my life a wonderful ranch up in Wisconsin along the upper Mississippi, what I call the Yankee Mississippi. And Not too long ago, got a little tiny horse ranch training facility for my daughter when she was going to West Texas A&M. And so, you know, I've been very, very lucky to add all of that onto my life. But the Red River place is my center of attention now for whenever I want to go out into the mountains. And our ranch in Colorado, our larger ranch, is north of there about 2 hours. But I have a place to stay and a place to live right on this place. It was an old guest ranch,
I was approached by Steve Hagelin, who owns the most popular lodge and restaurant in Red River, about building a theater on it. He bought the place. He said, I want to brand it with your name, and then you'll be the only entertainer who plays there. So July 5th, we opened, and we started doing three shows a week. Right before Labor Day, Labor Day week, we did four shows. And I ran out and did a couple of obligations that I had elsewhere that were already booked when he brought me this plan. So I came to California and Nevada a couple of times. Basically, I stayed right there. The stage is all made completely out of logs. All the cabins that are around the old guest ranch were built in the 1920s. The stage sits right on a lake, and the audience sits in an amphitheater. And when you look at the stage, you look through the stage and beyond. What's beyond you is water and a mountain setting and a lake. And
wow.
You can see trout jumping. Literally, I could fish off the stage while I'm singing. That might be my new angle. Use a remote microphone and walk to the back and sing on the mic and fish at the same time.
Oh, gosh.
And it's gone great. It's gone great. But I have a long history of playing in Red River. For those of the people that are listening that don't know where Red River is, it's in northern New Mexico, north of Santa Fe, about an hour and a half, 2 hours, just shy of Taos, about 30 minutes. It's almost on the Colorado border. And it is the mountain town of all mountain towns. It's really old-fashioned. It got started in the Gold Rush era. And cowboys have had big ranches around there to work on for a long time. It's right next door to the Philmont Scout Ranch, which used to belong to the Phillips family of Phillips 66. And the one ranch that they had in that area now is split into three ranches, Philmont Scout Ranch, the UU Bar, and the Vermejo, which is now owned by Ted Turner, and the CS Ranch. And all of those ranches are at least 200,000
Wow.
acres. And so you still got cowboys out there who wear the big bandanas and wear the proud spurs and live the buckaroo life 24/7. And they all come into Red River to hear music. And that's why I say Red River is probably the number one cowboy heritage mountain town in America. Always been about cowboy music there, so it's a perfect place for me. And I lived there long before I put out my first cowboy album in 1989. I moved there in 1978.
Wow.
And always gravitated to Red River since I was a kid, and my dad took me fishing up there. And I saw Indians and I saw cowboys. I got to fish and hike in the mountains and ride horses in the mountains, and that did it. I knew where I wanted to be. So I lived there until I met Karen, and then I added on the Wisconsin place, kept the Taos place, and the Red River place, and just been moving on from there. It's been great.
Well, I've looked at the photographs and some of the scenes and the pictures that you've got posted. And by the way, your website is michaelmartinmurphy.com, and it's just had a facelift in the last couple of weeks. But I think you can see some information on the R3M amphitheater and stage there, and some more information. Looks like a beautiful place, and I'm going to put that on my to-do list for next year. So,
yeah, we need to start a Facebook page just for it. We haven't done that yet, but we will.
Yeah.
But it's a marvelous place. What happens is, here's how it works. It's up about a 2.5 mile rough road. It's part of the adventure. If you want to get there, you got to go up that road. If we put it on the side of the highway by an interstate, we have to listen to trucks and cars going by all day. So we want to be on the pavement.
Right.
But you drive your car up there, you park, and in one parking lot, and then when you walk through a series of cattails and bulrushes to walk up the path, when you get there, you can't see any vehicles except the support vehicles that work the deal. They're not looking at a big parking lot. And then you see this stage, you have an amphitheater. You get there about 6 o'clock, we feed you a cowboy dinner cooked by
the most popular steakhouse in New Mexico and probably the most popular steakhouse for Texans, called Texas Reds. They cook all of our food. That's my partner.
Uh-huh.
And then after that, sometimes, most nights, we have Indian dancing. The Indian dancers come up from the Pueblo and demonstrate their Indian dances. And then I go on and play cowboy music and bluegrass and country music, and we have a big old time, and it's all over about 8:30. So everybody can get back home and get to bed, because, you know, in that town, everybody gets up real early so they can rent Jeeps and rent four-wheelers and get on horseback. And we have partners in the people at Red River Stables. They come down, and during our show, when I'm singing cowboy music, they actually ride the horses all around the stage and behind us and stuff. And, oh, my goodness, the people from the big city think that's the coolest thing in the world. I join them in that. I get just as big-eyed as they do, because I think, am I really in this place? This is my dream. I'm playing on a log-built stage with people riding horses around me by the greatest trout lake in the Rockies. And what else could this really be me? I have to pinch myself.
Couldn't get much better than that. Could not get much better than that. Hey, let me ask you, this weekend, I think you're doing the Rio Grande Scenic Railroad in Colorado, I think on the 14th and 15th.
Starting this theater was very much, like I said, part and parcel of my love of being in the Rocky Mountains in the summer, particularly. I love being there anytime because I'm a skier and a hunter, but there's other great places to be when you're doing that stuff. But in the summertime, I think there's no better place to be than in a mountain environment. And so I was approached about 6 years ago by a fellow named Ed Ellis, who owns a number of tourist railroads and freight railroads around the country, about playing a concert for the grand opening of their new Rio Grande Scenic Railroad line between Alamosa, Colorado, and La Vida, Colorado. And I said, sure. We put up the tent, we put up the stage, and we had so many people show up, it was only accessible by train, that after I had such a good time, I hopped a train from my Wisconsin ranch and went into Chicago and met with his board members, and I said, guys, you need to start a regular series of concerts, not just one concert with me, but you need to have a whole series. And I even pitched them on building a whole western town up there that you can only reach by railroad. They haven't done that yet, but they did take me up on building an amphitheater. So the way that deal works is you got to get on in either Alamosa or La Vida on RioGrandeScenicRailroad.com. Remember that, Rio Grande Scenic Railroad. You get on there, you can see how you can buy tickets. We have three levels of tickets. And then you ride at about 11 o'clock, the train takes off, and you go to the top of La Vida Pass, which is 10,000 feet, and you have an amphitheater that has a 360 view of the Rockies. And we have a stage that's built on an old boxcar. It's completely encased in wood now. Our stage comes right out of a boxcar, and you sit there in this amphitheater and watch the show and listen to the music. And then at about 3:30, 4 o'clock, we quit. Yep, you have lunch. You can eat on the train, and you can have lunch when you get up there. You get back on the train about 4 o'clock, 4:30, and you're back down in Alamosa or La Vida by about 5:30 or 6. And go about your merry way and do whatever you want. It's only accessible by train. It's 100% green venue. We are totally powered for our food service and for our sound and other lighting activities up there by a windmill, an electric generator windmill, and also by solar power that was designed and built by Tammy and David Burgard of High Tech Energy Systems in Oklahoma. Because we used to have generators up there, and Ed Ellis said to me, Murph, I can't stand the noise and the smell of those generators.
Right.
I said, well, here, you need to talk to this guy, David Burgard. He can help you out. So, and besides, we is way too expensive to bring. It would have been probably 45 miles of cable we would have had to lay all the way up that track to have electric service on that spot. So we decided to go green. And we think we're the greenest venue in the world for music, because if a train gets in gas mileage, it'd get about 150 miles to the gallon.
Wow.
For the load that it pulls. Then when you get up there, you're watching a show totally powered by the sun and by wind.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing. And that's a great concept. Absolutely a great concept.
I do 4 weekends of that a year, and obviously when I do those, I'm not performing at my own place, although next year we may jump off the train and drive down the 1 hour that it takes to get to Red River and do a show.
Great.
Actually, we might do 2 shows in 1 day. Didn't do that this year, but we might next year.
Wow. Well, people need to put that on their calendar, and they certainly need to visit Red River and visit your amphitheater there. And then one more opportunity this year to see you at the Rio Grande Scenic Railroad, and that's .com if people want to check out that website, and I would encourage them to do that too. I've got several of your songs on here, but I'm having so much fun talking with you that we're not playing the music. I don't know. That's
okay, I'll shut up.
Well, I've got one song I want to play, and this is a song, and you might want to tell us about this, and then we've got another topic that I want to talk about before we have to end. You wrote a song, your Red River Drifter album has come out, and Secret Smile is a song that you wrote for your wife. Can you tell us about that?
Well, I wrote it with my son Ryan and with my other co-writer friend Pat Flynn, who was in Newgrass Revival. He played lead guitar in my band, still does come out and play lead guitar for me from time to time. Over the last 2 years, before that album came out, we rented a house that wasn't too far from the railroad station, and I brought those guys out there, and we just sat there and wrote songs off the back porch in Colorado. And so I say I wrote it for my wife, but the truth is I think Ryan probably told his wife that he wrote it for her, and Pat probably told his wife he wrote it for her.
Oh, gosh.
But it was all based on a common experience that we'd all had, that we'd observed that between everybody in love, no matter how long their relationship is, there is a certain kind of a smile that they have that's just between them. You know, you've probably experienced it even if you have an argument. You know, even if you disagree, sometimes at the end of the disagreement, you know, you say, okay, well, we're just going to let this one pass, this little smile. There's a little smile there. It's that knowing smile that says, I'm with you, and
right,
you're with me, and we're going to make this work for a lifetime. And I saw that same smile in the face of my dad and my mother when he passed away, and I've seen it a lot in other people, regardless of age. Young people, when they first get married, I just had a couple come up to me about a year ago when I first introduced that song. I was singing on stage. We hadn't put the record out yet, and I sang it. They said, let us know when that comes out because we're going to play it at our wedding.
How neat.
I think we hit on something there. And so Secret Smile is my personal favorite song on the album. And it's because there's a lot of stuff in there about Karen. I always think of Karen and my relationship with her, I relate it a lot to the seasons, because she's from Wisconsin where there are 4 seasons. You know, out in the Rockies, we only have 3 seasons, summer, winter, and mud. And out there, there are 3 seasons, a beautiful spring, wonderful summers, great fall colors, and fantastic winters where you can strap on your snowshoes, your cross-country skis, and go all over the place. And big Nordic ski races up there. It's they're outdoor people, and my wife is a very outdoor person. So I think of my relationship with her in terms of nature. So I'm the one who put in the imagery of the second verse about the secret smile through the different seasons. Through the secrets of the seasons, I can hear you laughing still. In the spring mist, summer's first kiss, fading rainbows on the hill, false dark daydreams, sudden sunbeams, your voice whispering through wind and snow. And that's the one that probably most relates to her, because when it gets windy and snowy up there and you're in Wisconsin, you're in a great farmhouse, your wife kind of has a soft voice. You remember that when you're out on the road. You know, you're 1,000 miles away, and you think about that soft voice and that wind and that snow, and that's what you love.
Wow. Well, let's play this for the folks, and then we'll come back and talk about something else that's coming up this weekend. But this is Secret Smile, and this was written for Karen, and take a look at it.
That moment when I first saw your secret smile. Sometimes sunlight, sometimes midnight, sometimes a lady, sometimes a child. And from others you concealed it, but to me was revealed. Secret smile between you and me. Secret smile that only we can see. You and me through the years. You and me through the tears. Across miles, we'll keep our secret smile. Through the secrets of the season, I can hear you laughing. In the spring mist, summer's first kiss, fading rainbows on the hill, falls dark daydreams, sudden sunbeams, your voice whispering through wind and snow. Between you and me, secret smile that only we can see. You and me through the years, you and me through the tears. Across the miles, we'll keep our secret smile. Across the miles, we'll keep our secret smile. Promise me you'll keep a secret smile.
That is just a beautiful song, and I know that Karen has to have a warm heart after she's every time she listens to this song. Murph, your album Red River Drifter has done just great. It's been at the top of the charts, in the bluegrass charts, I think, and several of the songs that are on this album have done extremely well. Mountain Storm has been one of those, and another song, Shake It Off, is just a great song, and I think due to the lack of time, we probably will end the show with that, but tell me about Shake It Off. How did that come about?
Well, Shake It Off is a song about getting through hard times, and it's a humorous song about getting through hard times, because when you're having really tough times, the best thing you can do is laugh it off, to shake it off. See your situation as ridiculous and shake it off. So it says, you know, when the monkey's on your back, don't cut him any slack. Buddy, won't you shake it off? When the devil's at your door, don't you take it anymore? When the Bible's getting rusty and your halo, when your Bible's getting dusty and your halo's getting rusty, buddy, better shake it off. You're falling off the wagon and your spirit's dragging, buddy, better shake it off. Now, why would a guy like me, who is successful in the music business in everyone's eyes, and I've had a great career for a lifetime, can't complain about anything that ever happened to me, why would I have to write a song about Shake It Off? Well, it relates to the fact that 14 years ago, right in the middle of the biggest festival that I put on every year called West Fest, right in the middle, but one of the biggest ones we'd ever done, a really successful year, we were having a follow-up board meeting. I got a phone call on September the 6th from my son who said, Dad, we have a girl. You have a granddaughter. Her name is Fiona Rose. And she was born with 7 broken bones, and she has a condition called osteogenesis imperfecta, which means that her bones are going to break really easily. I would go on and on about this, but it's a little tough for me to talk about, but you can go on her website, the website for the foundation that I created for her, Fiona Rose Murphy Trust, FionaRoseMurphyTrust.org. And read all about the condition and what she's been through. She's had probably between 70 and 100 broken bones in her life. She still is in a wheelchair, extremely brilliant student, and has actually indulged in a lot of sports, just sports that don't have such a bad impact on her breaking bones. So she has played t-ball. She has done a lot of swimming. She even rides horses, and I guess because of this show, I should mention that she is a part of a program in Tennessee where my son lives called Saddle Up.
Right.
And it's for handicapped people to be able to ride horses. And they put people on horses that have spinal bifida, that have, you know, MS, all kinds of things. Well, this condition does not affect a person's brain, and they can even have a full life, like 70, 80 years of life, as long as they don't get in a real bad car accident or something. So she wanted to be able to say she rode a horse. Visited us on the ranch one time. We had a real gentle horse. We stood there, of course, and held the reins and held on to her, 3 or 4 of us around her. She rode around, and the look on her face was so incredible that my son Ryan, I also want to say, is a phenomenal horseman. You know, he showed in high school. So did my other daughter I didn't mention, Laura. She was a rodeo queen. All my kids have always loved horses. The only one who didn't get into it was Brennan. And when he was 6 years old, we were riding through Grand Canyon. It was a really hot day on a long trail ride. And he looked up at me and said, Hey, Dad, is it okay if when I grow up I don't have to be a cowboy-type person? And so he's the only one who really never got into the horse thing. But he was good at it when he was trying it. He just went a different direction. He is an electronics engineer and a computer genius and knows how to do all kinds of things with electronic music and synthesizers and heavy metal guitars and stuff. So anyway, that's been passed down. So my granddaughters love the wanting to be on horse, but here she is, a person who breaks bones really easily. It's wonderful that there are programs like Saddle Up, and those are the kind of programs that my foundation, Fiona Rose Murphy Foundation, is for. It's for giving money to programs like that, band programs. The band in Tennessee, her school has been really good to her, taking on a handicapped girl. She couldn't be in a marching band, But you know what? They're going to roll her along in a wheelchair.
That's great. That's
Somebody else will get it while she does marching band stuff. So we give this money and we raise funds through putting on events and auctioning off autographed guitars. And people send in donations to FionaRoseMurphyTrust.org. And we do give money to other kids and help other kids with their condition of osteogenesis. Pretty much focused just on that.
Right.
It's a big enough need. It's a condition that's about 1 in 100,000 people, but it's a growing thing. It's getting below 100,000 now. Nobody knows why. It's a genetic disease. It's in the genes, some kind of a misfire at conception. It isn't really passed on by the parents to the child unless the child has it. Once the child has it, then if that child decides to have children, that person decides to have children, there's a 50-50 chance to get passed on a life to them.
This is a huge deal,
you know?
Right. We're starting to run down to where we're going to lose our airtime in just a minute. You've got an event coming up Friday, September the 20th in Nashville at Two Old Hippies, and tell us just real briefly about that. We've got just about 2.5 minutes left.
There's an annual event called the Americana Gathering, Americana Convention, whatever you want to call it, Americana Festival of the Americana Music Charts, and everybody that's involved in that, which we are also doing well on the Americana charts. And so I wanted to do a showcase during that time so that we could access the media and all the people that come to that festival and just interact with all the radio people in Americana that come to that festival. I decided to make my showcase a benefit for the Fiona Rose Murphy Trust. Two Old Hippies, an extremely successful guitar store and clothing store that's run by Tom and Molly Bedell, who makes Bedell guitars. They're great friends, and they've opened up their venue to us as a music venue. They have songwriters in there pretty much every night because they're right in the middle of the music industry there in the Gulch in Nashville. So people are going to come for a meet and greet at 6 o'clock. Then my band is going to play for 2 hours, 10 songs from the past and all 10 songs from Red River Drifter. We're going to auction off guitars. There's going to be wine and cheese and non-alcoholic drinks there. And my daughter and son are bringing my granddaughter down there, and she is going to address the supporters of her foundation for the first time ever. At age 14, she's going to speak, and she's going to talk to them about her condition and about how much she appreciates everything they're doing and tell them a little bit more about OI. And she is more than capable of doing it, but I'm so excited that she is actually going to be on site.
Well, we're looking forward to the show this coming weekend. That's Two Old Hippies, Friday, September the 20th at 6 o'clock in Nashville at the Gulch. And you can check out Two Old Hippies' website. You can check Michael Martin Murphy's website as well for information on that. And I wish we weren't running out of time, because I wanted to play some more music and talk some more, and we're out of time. Murph, thank you so much for spending time with us today.
We'll do another one where we talk more about the music. We'll do another one sometime.
Well, let's do that.
I want to talk about my album that I made called The Horse Legends, which is an entire album all about horses, not about people.
All right. Well, we'll do that in another show. All right. Thanks very much. Good to talk to you.
Say, sorry, you got me excited. I couldn't stop talking about horses.
Oh, it was great. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.